You're a Capricorn?
No, I'm a Cancer. You look like a Taurus. A little...
I'm an Aries. But you know how RuPaul used to always say, Capricorn?
No.
She thought it was funny.
What is Capricorn?
Did you ever listen to RuPaul's podcast? Well, this is not RuPaul's podcast. And we are excited to talk about horoscopes, astrology, rising signs, Mercury in retrograde, and eyeliner wings.
Wings. And Drew Barrymore.
And Divine.
Oh, my gosh. What a packed
episode.
So get
we have
into
celebrity
it, baby.
Astrologer Aliza Kelly on the show today to talk about all things astrology. And listen, we do the 101s because I did not pay attention in school and I ask a lot of rudimentary.
Just really dumb stuff. Just dark.
Okay. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
Forever.
When your first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us.
Sloppy seconds.
Oh, diva. Our number is 213-536-9180. Our email is sloppysecondspot@gmail.com. Now on with the show. Are you ready for some sloppy seconds, you stupid little boochie cats, you dumb little boochie cats, you stupid little boochie cats? Welcome to Sloppy Seconds with Big Dipper and Meatball. I'm Meatball, and that's Big Dipper. Welcome
Hello.
Back. Hello.
I'm excited to get thoughtful and introspective and universal and global in all of my thinking today. Are you ready for that, Meatball?
I'm absolutely ready. And I have questions about one Miss Drew Barrymore. So please introduce that again.
Okay, so we are very excited to have a writer, podcaster, astrologer. This is Aliza Kelly. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Likewise.
Thank you for being
here. Thank you for joining us. How's it going? Are you on the East Coast?
I'm in New York, yeah, East Coast.
Ah.
3 hours later.
That's right. You are in the future currently.
I'm in the future.
And
I can tell you the
feel?
Future is muggy.
Okay, where it's literally muggy and hot in LA.
Wait,
today.
Is New York really hot right now? I'm going there next week.
Well, you know, it's fluctuating. So
okay.
But now that I know that you're coming next week, we'll see what we can do.
Thank you so much. And that's part of your power as an astrologer. You can control the weather.
Say, I didn't know you had those kind of power.
Duh.
let's dive in. So what drew you to astrology initially?
Well, how much time do we have?
About 45 minutes. So.
Great. We'll spend the entire 45 minutes talking about it. Just kidding. Initially, I actually was living in Los Angeles and I was really, really having a hard time. I was really confused. I really was having a very difficult time, sort of like, you know, not even knowing what I wanted or how to get it. Knowing who I was, you know, I was just feeling deeply, deeply fragmented and really confused about my own narrative. I had created so many of these like false realities for myself. I would tell different people different things. And I was just having a really difficult time integrating and understanding sort of like who is Aliza at the end of the day. Because I had never really, you know, I just had compounded all of this, you know, experiences and trauma and moments and choices. And for some reason, you know, at that moment when I first arrived in Los Angeles and I had to make some choices about like where I wanted to live, what I wanted to do, who I wanted to be friends with, I found myself really floundering. And it was at that time that I came upon astrology and I saw that my birth chart showed that I was not just a Leo sun, which I identified with, but did not explain what I was going through. But I started to discover that there were all of these nuances, you know, that I was a Pisces moon, that I'm a Capricorn rising, that I have a Mercury placement, that I have this whole birth chart. And all of the things that I was having a really difficult time integrating became whole because astrology creates a language that allows you to be very multidimensional and allows you to sort of, you know, have certain truths and then other truths. And even if those are contradictory, they can all coexist together. So that's really how I found astrology is like so many other people. I was having a really hard time.
Right. That's, I mean, that's amazing. One thing, I mean, I know, I feel like astrology is a very sort of like in thing right now where people, and I honestly, I attribute a lot of it to meme culture because like, you'll just like look at a meme that's like Gemini's be like, and that, you know, sort of puts itself into the like cultural conversation. And so, you know, I have a sense of what astrology is. I understand that there are different signs, and I understand that depending on what sign you are, you're probably more prone to certain behaviors. But I'm sure, like, what are some of the biggest misconceptions that you encounter out in the world when you talk to people about astrology?
Yeah,
like, when you're I know what that is.
Yeah, when you're like, thing. I'm an astrologist, are they like, oh, I get it. I'm a Libra moon sun sign or whatever. Like.
Well, I would say that probably the biggest misconception is that astrology is horoscopes. Because it is not, you know, it's horoscopes are a facet of astrology, but it is one, you know, it's one extension of the practice. And horoscopes are amazing. Horoscopes are a phenomenal gateway drug into spirituality and into astrology and into this sort of cosmic world. But it is certainly the tip of the iceberg. Quite literally, I have a meme that I like to every now and then post, which is an iceberg. And it shows at the top what you can see is horoscopes. And then everything beneath is astrology. That really is the case. I mean, astrology is so comprehensive. There's so many different techniques and practices, and it is so multidimensional. And horoscopes are a phenomenal way of like getting your feet wet and getting to know like, oh, I'm a sun sign. I like what's, you know, the week have to say, or what's the month have to say. But once you really start working with the material, you discover like, oh my gosh, this is actually about self-actualization. You know, this is actually about like becoming a real person, becoming who I am and embracing who I am, which is why I've continued to use it. And then I continued to, expand in such a way that this became my life. This would not have been my life if it was just horoscopes.
Yeah.
Right. And so what about
Well, I was going to say, I had a chart done. I tried to find it this morning so we could have gone over it. I might look for it during the break.
Critiques. Some chart critiques.
But can you kind of help me understand what like the different, like a sun sign, a moon sign, rising, what all of that means?
Yeah, we're complete
novices. People post like memes of like little pictures and they're like, this is my Leo rising, Virgo, whatever. Like, what does all of that mean?
So your rising sign is what was coming up in the eastern horizon at your exact moment of birth. I like to talk about it as sort of like the genre of your life. The narrative, the story. So for me, I'm a Capricorn. So what do you know what your rising sign is, Meatball?
No, I will find that piece of paper though in a second.
I feel like you're talking about my vaccine card when you talk about a single piece of paper that needs to be located.
It's like it's a huge packet. It's like 50 pages long. It's enormous.
Oh, it's more than a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my rising sign is Capricorn. And Capricorn is the last earth sign of the zodiac, and it is associated with responsibilities, hard work, you know, ambition, and then also just like feeling like you are constantly on the brink of a burnout because you're scaling a mountain. And that is the theme of my life. I mean, the theme of my life is working really hard, but then also being sort of a curmudgeon about it. Like being like, why do I have to work so much harder than everyone else? Which like I'm saying like facetiously, because that's also kind of the joy of astrology is that you get to see something and you're like, yeah, that checks out. You know, you can laugh at yourself a little bit through this lens too. But Capricorn rising is sort of the theme of my life. So everything that I'm doing is about climbing the mountains, scaling, you know, trying to make something of myself. Your sun sign is where the sun was at the moment that you were born. And that is like your main character energy. That is how you are shining. That is how you are taking up space. That is how you are radiating. So on my pursuit of trying to, you know, hustle and work hard and do all of those things, I'm doing it in a Leo way. I'm doing it by being very theatrical, by being performative, by having my podcast, by having various shows, you know, like putting myself sort of in a Leo sun sensibility way. Huh. Your moon sign shows how you feel about all of that. So in this metaphor, this would be sort of like the internal subplot. So this can show also where there's a lot of tension between how you're externalizing and how you're internalizing. And for me, with a very watery, very psychic, very sensitive Pisces moon, I am feeling everything all the time. I am, even though I might sort of be like, bah, 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 like, here I am, you know, I'm working so hard. I never stop grinding. I'm like, on the inside, I'm like, oh my God, I hope they like me. I'm feeling their emotions. Were they abused? Like, I want to protect them. I need to help this person. And it's a whole different narrative emotionally for me internally than anyone might ever realize just based on my rising and sun.
Wow.
So that's why, like, when, like, you talking about horoscopes being the tip of the iceberg, like, sure, you were born within this 5 or 6 week period of time. So maybe the broad stroke is like, you know, you're like, I'm an Aries. So I look at my, but it has so much more to do with these other signs in conjunction with that, right?
Yes, absolutely. So your sun sign is, you change your sun about every month. It's usually about 30 days, that you would have an astrological season, but the other placements, I mean, there's all of the different planets and the moon changes every 2.5 days, your rising sign changes degrees every 2 minutes. So there's a lot of specificity here.
Oh my goodness.
That's why Meatball, it's not just a piece of paper, what you're looking for. It's a whole
it's a packet. Wow.
It's a manila envelope.
It really is.
Okay. So I have a bigger question here, which is like, okay, so astronomy is the scientific study of the stars in the sky, the telescopes, the space, like that's that thing.
Yeah, I can't speak to that thing.
Of course. But the astrology, like looking at a birth chart and stuff, you are looking at like planets and stars and moon. Like there is that crossover and basically using the same sort of set of materials. And then one, you know, one form of study is this like complete scientific telescopic like method. And then this other form of study using that same sort of base material is this internal spiritual emotional connection. I mean, do you, what are those worlds like? Or is it always just like, no, those are different things. Let's not talk about it.
Well, a lot of astrologers do really like to emphasize how technical astrology is, you know, and that we use a lot of the same data sets that astronomers do. We, you know, astrologers and astronomers would agree on the placement of the planets. We agree on, you know, we use sort of the same tables and formulas, and there's a lot of the same sort of mathematical applications because, you know, prior to the Enlightenment, there was no difference between astrology and astronomy. They coexisted, but a few hundred years ago, they separated. And in that separation, of course, astronomy, you know, went above and beyond what astrology does. They have different equipment and different equations and different formulas and all of that. Different physics. Astrology doesn't take into account physics, for instance. It's really about sort of the geographical coordinates of the different planets and celestial bodies.
And remind my, haven't used any of this since college brain. When was the Enlightenment?
Oh, the Enlightenment was in like the late 1700s.
Got it. Okay, so it wasn't it, last weekend it. When Meatball did mushrooms in Palm Springs.
Ooh, that was the second I was Enlightenment. And that was looking at the stars.
Okay, so one question I have about all of astronomy and like when stuff is going down, people are always like, well, it's because Mercury is in retrograde. What does that mean to me as just a regular person?
Okay, well, you know, Mercury retrograde is one of, you know, it's
because this is a buzzword.
It is. I mean, you know, every brand under the sun has really jumped on the opportunity to talk about Mercury retrograde.
Yeah.
It goes retrograde 3 to 4 times every year. So as you could imagine, that is like pretty, it's a lot of opportunity.
I thought it was just once. It's just always in retrograde.
Or at least once a quarter.
It's quarterly. It's quarterly.
Just like the paychecks.
<What the fuck? laughs>
Yes, it's quarterly, like a sad paycheck.
Yeah, it's like a paycheck you've been chasing.
Yeah, like a please follow up.
Yes, kind of paycheck. Just circling back.
Circling back.
Yeah, Mercury sends that email. Just circling back about to fuck up your technology.
No, for real, for real. But it, I mean, actually, in a way that is kind of true. Mercury is the planet of communication, and it does, in astrology, govern all things technology, transportation, dialogue, text messages, emails, Zoom. So, you know, we live in a world that is really reliant on Mercury functioning normally. So for 3 weeks, three or four times a year, quarterly, it goes backwards, and it's an optical illusion. It doesn't actually go backwards in the sky. But astronomers would agree that it's called Mercury retrograde because of the optical illusion that's created by the speed of Earth and the speed of Mercury. It's kind of like when you are on the highway and you zoom past a car and that car looks like it's getting pulled backwards. It's right. That sort of optical illusion.
Or when you're like pulling out of a train station and you're like, what direction
yes,
am I going?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Wait, but Mercury as an element, right? Like in thermometers or like whatever, like it does like have a pull, right? So like, are we saying that truly there is like, it like actually interferes with technology? Like buzz, my computer's not working right well.
Well, Mercury, the element, is not the same as Mercury, the planet. Mercury,
the
element.
The planet isn't made of the element?
No. But the same as like, uranium, you know, like uranium is named after Uranus. So like we have a lot of beautiful overlap between like the periodic table, our solar system, astrology, astronomy. Uh-huh. I like to say this thing called tank, which means there are no coincidences. So, you know, it is kind of tank that Mercury is in a thermometer and that thermometers are a way of measuring something and Mercury governs everything that's measured. You know, that's a tank.
Yeah. That's wild.
So much to think about.
Also, right, well, I just learned that you pronounce it Uranus, not Uranus. And on that, we'll take a break. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long.
When my fridge is stocked with Factor meals, I'm like, oh, baby, I don't have to think about this. Mm-hmm. Like, it is so nice. The combinations are so good. I am a meat eater, but the vegetable options, there are so many. Like, I remember I had a mushroom with pasta and like a cauliflower rice. And I was like, the mushroom is filling. Like, there's plenty of portion. There's plenty of vegetable and there's plenty of flavor. And I am usually sort of not a microwave person.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool that this quality of food can just be heated up in the microwave.
And so fast. I also love it because I am a very much into ordering delivery.
I know.
Now having all the food there, I can kind of pick what I want and it's ready in 2 minutes. I don't have to wait an hour for stuff to get delivered. And these are way healthier options than ordering delivery.
Completely. And when they have multiple things in them, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, if I cook for myself, all I'm going to eat is the biggest bowl of pasta you've ever seen in your life. But this is you get a little pasta and the chicken and a vegetable all in one dish.
Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. All you gotta do is heat up and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause to reschedule deliveries that suit your lifestyle.
And we're celebrating Earth Day all month long with Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu items for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/sloppyseconds50 and use code sloppyseconds50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code SLOPPYSECONDS50 at factormeals.com/SLOPPYSECONDS50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
That's a slay, baby.
we are back from break, and Meatball has a pressing question that she asks all of our guests.
And your cousin with a Broadway music fanatic. Do you know Wicked?
I'm like, I have a little bit of like high school trauma around Wicked because, okay, I went to a performing arts high school in New York City. And I was a student.
The one when from Fame? You were in Fame?
No, not the one from Fame. The one that wishes it was in Fame. It's like, it's whatever. Why am I throwing shade at my high school? So embarrassing for me. Literally so embarrassing.
You're holding on to it. It's fine.
So
it's
humiliating. But I was a student when Wicked came out. And I was like punk and edgy. And I like was like, I'm so much cooler than all of these musical theater students. But they were obsessed with Wicked. They were obsessed with it. We saw it opening day at my high school. They wouldn't stop. The original cast. I mean, like maybe through this conversation, I'm like, that was really special and I should be really grateful and appreciative. But at the time I was like, this is so annoying.
And I understand that completely. You saw Idina Menzel?
Did
she hit the notes? Do you remember if she could hit the notes? Because oftentimes she couldn't.
She did it. She did it. She did it. The year was 2006.
Oh, she was still young. Still young vocal cords.
It was 2005 or 2006. I was a little bitty baby.
And now Miss Idina is dancing in the street with James Corden.
That was dark.
That was so dark.
That was dark. It gave me flashbacks to when I was in junior high and the high school kids would come to the cafeteria in the costumes for the school play and like try to sell tickets and no one would ever buy them. It was that same energy.
That thrust though was really
the thrust
disgusting.
Was
phenomenal. I didn't need to see that.
One of, I think, the best art pieces that has come out of the internet is the person who took the shot of them dancing through the windshield and placed it on top of the actors from Parasite driving home in the car. Did you see that?
No, I haven't
it
seen that.
It is quite the chef's kiss of internet art.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to track that down.
Did either of you have, in my high school, it wasn't show choir and it wasn't a musical. They did something called, oh my gosh, the Madrigal Dinner. In which people dressed up in like, it felt like they were all getting ready for their job at medieval times.
No.
And you would pay a ticket price and you would eat cafeteria food.
No.
While people would like play the lute and like sing
That's weird.
Songs. And you'd like do it in like a courtyard at the high school.
Where did you grow up?
Suburbs of Chicago.
I grew up outside of Chicago, but it sounds like I grew up in New England.
It sounds like you grew up in a tiny little town in the United Kingdom.
I know. Okay, so something.
So back to the real stuff.
Back to the real stuff. No, something that I think has been like, I've seen a couple of videos. Do people ever like ask you to guess their astrological sign?
People love to ask me to guess their astrological sign.
Do you just
sign.
Fucking hate that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate it. Like, honestly, like, I mean, if Megan Fox asked me to guess her sign, if, you know, like if someone who is like an, you know, legendary icon asked me, I'll do anything. Of course I would guess their sign. I would, you know, it's not like, I'm not going to be like righteous about it. If I'm on a show and people are like, guess our sign, I'll do it. But it is not the way astrology really works.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a freaky party trick, but like sometimes, you know, you gotta do it.
There was just the other day, me and Pinche were downtown and this lady just kind of walked up to Pinche and she was like, you look like a Libra. And Pinche was like, is that good or bad? And she was like, I don't know. Are you a Libra? And Pinche was like, yeah, I am. And then she walked away. Was she doing witchcraft?
I mean, that's... I can't speak to what happens. You
have been very well press trained.
Yeah.
You know exactly how to handle
it. I do
question.
Not know what happens at the Glendale Galleria.
I cannot
Galleria.
Speak to that.
I do not know.
All right. Well, let's talk about something you can speak to, which you have a couple of really great projects. You have obviously your podcast that has been going on for what, since 2019? A long time.
A long time.
It's called Stars Like Us. us. And you talk about what? Astrology, pop culture. Let us know what goes on over there on the podcast.
Yeah, I talk about, I bring on different guests and we talk about who they are through the lens of astrology, magic. And by magic, I don't mean like pulling a rabbit out of a hat. It's like more like the manifestation aspect of magic.
Yeah.
But honestly, if you know, any magicians, famous magicians, specifically famous magicians.
Oh, I'm not
talking about David Blaine. Right. Are listening. I'd love to have them on.
I used to do magic at children's birthday parties.
Wait, tell me more.
When I was a child. I was like in seventh or eighth grade I was doing magic at like fifth graders' birthday parties and it was mediocre at best. So
this is why your mom was like, why can't you be normal? Why are you like this?
That's why she made me get a job because she was like, that's not going to pay the bills. You need to go get a job at a restaurant. But anyways, yes, your podcast, sorry.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I like that anecdote
a lot. It's dark. It's dark. It explains a lot.
I mean, they're definitely like, it's really interesting because, you know, I do, there is sort of a, what's the word I'm trying to find? Like there is a spelling differentiation between the magic that is associated with stuff that I do, which ends in a K. And then the magic, like illusionist, put like Job from Arrested Development.
Yeah.
But it's like, I have to always like specify because I feel like pulling rabbit out of the hat might be more of how people associate magic instead of the way that I do it.
Yeah.
But suffice it to say, we talk about, you know, spirituality. We talk about astrology. I look at their charts. We pull some tarot cards. Yeah. The way that astrology and spirituality and tarot and all of these different esoteric practices live in my life is that they are just sort of like baked in. It is everything I do, is who I am. And it does not mean that I am not sort of like, I am not siloed from pop culture. You know, I love pop culture. I love to incorporate what I do into the vernacular and the language of this time, because to me, that's how, it all is just sort of in my mind and in my consciousness as like coexisting together. Like whenever I watch a movie, I'm like, that is such a Taurus character, you know, like that's a Gemini. I know it. And like, as soon, you know, when someone is doing, some celebrity is doing something, I'm like, I got to check their birth chart. Like what the fuck is going on? So like, that's my truth.
You posting about Lil Nas X's birth chart. You're just like, I just need his birth time and we're ready to go.
I do. People really like were very offended by Lil Nas X.
Yes. I think
it's crazy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand. It's literally like
the ultimate troll. Cause did you see that recently Tony Hawk is producing skateboards that have like, they're like painted with a little bit of his blood, you know, to represent like the blood, sweat and tears that he's like put in his skateboarding career or whatever. And everyone was like celebrating it as being awesome. And when Lil Nas X put a drop of his blood in a sneaker, everyone was like, you're the devil, and, you know, sued him. And so he was like trolling that whole disparity on the internet. And then yesterday was posting TikToks with Tony Hawk skateboarding.
Of course.
Like, that they like linked up and he was like, I'm skateboarding now with Tony Hawk. Like, he's just so, to
he's
me,
so good at the internet.
So good. Yes. He's so good at the internet. He's so good at making videos. He's great.
That's why I need that birth time. Lil Nas X, if you are listening.
Out there,
yes.
Yeah, Montero, if hospital. You are listening.
What, you can't just call the hospital, get the records?
Not work at the hospital. Public record. Are birth certificates public record?
No.
Not. I think you have to wait a certain number of years.
Got it.
According to me on Ancestry.com, trying to figure it out.
You're like, I must know.
Well, besides the podcast, you also have a new book coming out this fall. It's called This Is Your Destiny, and it's going to be released on September 28th, but people can pre-order it now.
Right now, yes.
Ooh, why don't you tell us a little bit more about this book and what we can expect?
This book took me 2 years to write. It's a biggie for me. It is sort of it's kind of like the synthesis of everything, of how my life transformed through learning about astrology and manifestation. And then it's about me working with the thousands of clients that I've worked with and telling stories real stories from my clients and talking about, you know, astrology under the auspices of these different things that people care about. Because the truth is that even though I've worked with thousands of clients, most people come with very similar questions. And there are a lot of universal truths that apply to everyone, regardless of what your sun sign is or your moon sign is or your rising is or so on or so forth. So this book is really the answer to saying, I'm not going to be able to work with everybody in my lifetime, you know?
Yeah.
But this is how you can use the tools that I know and the wisdom that I have been able to accrue from working with so many different people and incorporate it and embed it into your own reality. So there are 7 core chapters, a chapter on identity, on money, on community, on intimacy, on career, on challenges, and on intuition. Because I basically took a spreadsheet of the thousands and thousands of questions that people would ask in my intake when they were booking a session. Yeah. And I started categorizing them. And I started to sort of find the patterns of what people wanted to know about. And everything seemed to kind of come down to these 7 core principles. So each chapter addresses one of those.
Wow. That's so amazing. Cool. What is the like number one question? Is it like, am I ever going to fall in love?
It or oscillates.
When am I going to die?
It's never
why always so dark? Everyone else is hopeful and you're like, when am I off of this earth?
When do I get to be done working all the time? No, I'm just kidding.
Which one of you will betray me? It oscillates what people want to know about, but I would say that since the Panini Press, everybody wants to know about their purpose. What is my purpose?
That.
And the answer is often it's sitting for 8 hours a day in front of a Zoom call.
It's obviously purpose. Logging into Zoom.
Wait, back quickly, to that keyboard.
Quickly before we take our next break, I want to know about your iconic eye makeup look and the inspiration and what drew you to the, is it a wing or a cat eye?
I don't know. I mean, that's maybe a cat you guys
eye. That's a wing.
See, you said both, and I don't even do makeup, Meatball.
I think that's a wing.
I think it's a wing.
A cat eye kind of goes straight out, but a wing gives you like a little lift.
It can oscillate between a wing and a cat eye. Honestly, I mean, I think I'm in good company right now. All the ambulances are coming to collect me.
Oh, yes. Well, you live in New York, so therefore it's also an ambulance convention at every turn.
Yeah, of course. Some of my earliest like fashion inspirations were Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
And Divine. That is what I grew up, like I have a very eccentric mother. And I grew up literally watching those movies, Polyester, Rocky Horror Picture Show, like all of the John Waters films when I was a little kid. And I just loved the drama of the makeup, especially the eyeliner, the wings, like all of it was so, it was so dramatic and so like playful and fun and over the top. And I don't know. And I grew up starting to do eyeliner like this. That's what I saw as the eyeliner inspiration. Yeah. So I started wearing my makeup like this when I was 13. And I've never really stopped. I actually started wearing it younger, but then I would get in trouble and they would make me take it off at school. But by 13, they stopped making me take it off.
That's perfect. Also, speaking of Divine, my friend just went to like a resale shop in Long Beach and bought a roll of film. And it turned out to be a bunch of pictures of Divine performing at a club. And
he sent me some of them.
They've never been released. It's like vintage photos and they're beautiful. Hold on. They're like right over here. I'll find it. We'll go to break and I'll find them.
Yes.
Oh, okay. My gosh. That okay, is let's so take a cool. Break.
Wow.
Whoa, that's so crazy. Cool.
That is a really cool find.
That's like unbelievable. That's the stuff that dreams are made of.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Not the room being so messy that she's like, I don't know. There's somewhere.
She don't know where
that wallpaper is so cool.
She put it up herself.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Oh, there they are. You know, this weird top shelf hidden from the cats.
Is it easy or hard to put in wallpaper?
Was the wallpaper hard, Meatball?
No, not super hard. I mean, the hardest part was trying to, like, line it all up.
Right.
Because it, like,
that sounds really hard.
But now they
sounds like a
but
really
now there's
hard
like
part.
Wallpaper companies where you can send them the dimension of the wall and then they'll send it to you pre-cut so that it'll all match up.
Mm. Oh my god!
They're like really good photos too.
Wait, so it was on what was it on?
It was just on a roll of film. He goes and like takes up old film stuff rolls just to see what's on them, and he was in Long Beach, and so this is pictures of her performing live in Long Beach at a club, and it's
wait, I feel like really emotional. That's
yeah,
so
they're
cool.
So incredible, and he yeah, isn't this crazy? And they're like beautiful pictures.
Wow, this is like making me cry.
And the audience looks the same as like a precinct audience does now, just like a bunch of mustache twinks.
Oh my goodness. I know, so that's special.
Is this but a they don't tank, fit in tank moment for you?
Yeah, this is you couldn't get tanker than that.
Completely.
Oh my gosh.
How crazy.
That is so wild.
He's going to make
he's
a
gonna, like special. Publish them?
Yeah,
something?
He's going to make a zine of them and publish them, but he's like trying to get in contact with like the Divine Estate to make sure that like he can donate some portion of it to them so he's not just like profiting completely off of her.
Yeah, the Divine, I follow the Divine Estate on Instagram and they're really great.
They're really nice guys. Yeah, I've met him at DragCon a couple times.
Wow. We want to ask a couple final questions here as we round things out. I'm really curious about climate change and its related. Too serious? What are you talking about?
No. Go ahead. I just was not expecting that at all.
Because I was like, tell me about your eye makeup. I thought, and then I'm like,
yeah. Like, okay, but what about climate change?
No, I'm just curious. I mean, obviously, climate change is like, you know, the top tier issue about human civilization, but I'm curious how it relates to astrology, because I'm sure it's having an effect, like, you know, like an more than just on the globe, in the universe and in the stars. And so how does that have like an active effect when thinking about astrology, or not quite yet?
It doesn't affect the practice of astrology.
Got
but it does show up in astrology as this is a moment, this is a critical moment to get it under control. In particular, Uranus, formerly known as Uranus, is in the sign of Taurus. And the last time, and Taurus is an earth sign, and it's all about agriculture, it's all about, you know, landscape, it's about finances, it's about food. The last time Uranus was in Taurus, we had the Great Depression, we had the Dust Bowl, we had food rationing, it was World War II. So it takes 84 years for that cycle to come back around again. And we're in that cycle now through 2026. That, alongside other very important astrology, really indicates that we're sort of reaching a breaking point with climate change right now. Right. And it's, you know, I'm really hopeful. I have to be hopeful. I think everybody really, like, I don't think that hope is, you know, I don't think anyone can underestimate the value of maintaining hope and not giving up. Mm-hmm. And where the astrology is going into innovation. It's going towards more sort of like clever, unique, never before seen showstopping.
Science, not a
reference. Reference or not reference.
Compost, carbon. What do they call it? Zero carbon. What do they call it when carbon negative? You know, when they eat the carbon.
Carbon neutral. Oh, carbon negative is a thing now.
Yeah.
I, you know, we
things
the thing
like
is,
that scientists say.
We have the technology. It's really a matter of implementing it, and implementing it is about holding the corporations accountable.
Yes.
To implement it. And I think that what we have seen in the past 18 months on social media is that it is more than selfies. Social media can really be used to turn and move the needle when it comes to policy, when it comes to for better or for worse, right? Like in really positive and in really horrifyingly negative ways. Totally. But if we can use these tools to put pressure on corporations, to put pressure on governments, to put pressure on the impossible entities, and honestly, get some fucking directions on a micro level, because all of us are really out here trying our fucking best, but we don't know what to do. There's no guidelines.
Exactly. I just saw this countertop composter that can not only compost all your organic waste if you don't have like a compost, but also certain like plastics and waste and trash, like whatever. You literally can like look up whether or not you put it in there, you run the machine, and it turns it into dirt. And the thing sits on your countertop, and then you can use the dirt in your flower pots or just throw that away. And that dirt that you throw away will also begin to start composting other trash that's in the general. I'm like, so you're telling me you have that in a sleek, cute design that can sit on my countertop? Why aren't there silos full of this technology eating up the it's because of the people in power. It's because of the corporations. It's because of the government.
Right. And like, is the impact like, do we all do that? Do we all stop flying? Do we all, what is the hierarchy of responsibility, and like what actually makes a difference,
you know,
both on
a
community level? Who?
Captain Planet.
He's our hero. That's true.
We just need the leadership. We just need someone saying, here's what you do.
That's true. We do need Captain Planet.
Well, we need someone to care. Now let's move on to our last segment, because we are slowly getting out of time. Now this segment is called Fuck Talk.
What we normally do in this segment is that we tell
embarrassing,
uncomfortable, outrageous sexual experiences.
But since we have you today, we think that
is it good or bad?
Good.
We have you today.
I was just wondering if astrology plays into sex in any way. Is there a way to find someone compatible using astrology, or is it?
Yes.
Okay.
So Venus, has the planets Venus and Mars in their birth chart. Venus is going to show you what you're attracted to. Like, I like to describe it as how you want to be sort of Marie Antoinette-ed, you know, like how you wanted to be like fanned with palms, like fed like little treats, you know, like just sort of decadent, like how I want to be indulged. And Mars shows how you fuck. So they are not the same. You know,
like a Venus and two Mars.
No, it's you have a Venus, you've got a Mars.
I'm making a joke.
I don't think I got it.
A Venus and two Mars?
Oh, I was making penis and balls.
Yes. It was a bad joke that I was making, and then I had to do a visual aid.
Really
now
creative.
Now we spent a lot of time talking about it. And
me and Elisa both did not
like
that.
Let's go ahead and move back to what you were saying.
I have never heard that approach.
It didn't happen. We'll pretend it didn't happen. That was, again, sad.
So, yeah, that is how I like to, you know, when it comes to sex, sexuality, like, I feel like that those are some good planets to work with is Venus and Mars, to be like, how do I want to be, you know, like Venus is like, what do I want as a first date? And then Mars is like, how do I want to get laid on that first date? But those are not necessarily the same. You know, for some people, they have it in the same sign. And then there's this nice, like, correlation, but then for other people, they're in totally different realms. So it's good to differentiate those things.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm always curious if I'm like sort of predetermined to only want hooking up and no real intimacy, or if it's like I just have a tendency for that. And then maybe after some time, when the right person presents themselves, I'll be like, oh, all I want to do is be monogamous and cuddle with you.
We would have to look at the chart.
We would. Meatball, where is it? Not me looking for your chart.
Yeah. And the answers are in Meatball's chart. Yeah.
If we've learned anything from today, it's just all you need is one chart. It applies to everybody, and there's never any
No, yeah, exactly.
that's really enlightening.
That's super
to think about like how you want to be romance versus how you want to be pounded. Because
it goes with everything that they've said today. It's like how each thing is representative of a small portion of your life, mm-hmm. and like it's not all one. So it's like, what do I want and how am I going to give it?
Yeah, exactly. And like, I think becoming more aware of the fact that not everything, like sometimes there's going to be contradictions, you know, in your life, and that's okay. But the awareness of those contradictions is really where you have the ability to sort of become more aware, you know, become more conscious of the choices that you're making. And if you're like, you know, for instance, if you keep attracting people who want to be in these monogamous relationships, but then really it's like, I am only turned on by one night stands. It's like, that's a disconnect. There's nothing wrong with that as a disconnect, but it's important to know that about yourself so that you can make responsible choices for yourself and for your partners, et cetera, you know?
Well, it's all about taking an inventory, which I think is important across the board. Like Meatball, the more you make outfits, the more you learn about how to make it better in the arms or better at this or how to do the lining or how to not have it pucker. It's like you learn as you gain more information. So the more you are checking in and the more things are evolving and you're learning, it's like, I think that applies everywhere. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, something interesting that I find a lot is that people don't really communicate about what they're looking for in sex. They just assume that their sexual partner wants the same thing as them.
Yes. No.
And
everyone wants a different
and
baby.
There's nothing wrong with getting on Tinder or Grindr or fucking LinkedIn. I don't give a fuck. And like meeting someone to just fuck. There is nothing wrong with that. But what is a problem is that if you think that the other person is doing the same thing, you know, you need to communicate like, hey, I'm really not looking for anything serious right now, or I am looking for something serious, but I like to have sex in the meantime. Like, how do you feel with that? Because nobody is doing anything wrong with, unless they are withholding information, right? Or unless they're being intentionally manipulative, then that's a whole other issue.
I gave a man a hand job like a week ago. And when I
the
tell
hand
you
hand job, where are we
so
at?
So retro. I love it.
It was honestly, it was so retro. And the dirty talk was off the charts. I could not understand what he was saying to me. He was saying phrases like, I want you to make me obsessed with you. I want you to own me so I can never come unless it's with you. Like he was saying really like intense stuff. It was just intense eye contact the whole time. He was laying down on his bed and I was jerking him off, but it was the it was the lightest touch. Like if I would go anywhere near like a regular jerk off, he was like, this is too much. And not like he was going to come, like he wanted just like grazing. It was like he wanted just like whispers of hand motions. And he was like,
sounds like he just wanted to talk to you for a while.
He was like, this is so good. This is so good. And I was thinking to myself, this is the opposite of what I would like. It was so much like work to be so gentle because I'm just so not used to that. And I was looking at him and I was like, he's having an amazing time. This is exactly what he wants. And this is the like totally different from what I would want.
I know. That's absolutely the complete opposite of what you
but
you
that's
want
why
generally.
Communicating is so good.
Sounds sexy and interesting.
Yeah, it does sound like a fun,
that'll be the
very interesting.
what do they call the thing that's not the main title of your book but the
subtitle.
Little under this okay wow I'm wow, feeling very Dipper. Stupid today. The subtitle to my life is sexy and interesting.
Sexy and interesting.
Well, listen, we've made it to the end of the episode. We really appreciate you being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun and so enlightening.
I mean, for us, really.
I asked you a lot of questions
that I should have learned when I was in high school or college.
But now I'm going to go back and read my chart again the minute I find
it. Yes, find that folder.
Okay, so make sure you check out Aliza Kelly's book, This Is Your Destiny. You can pre-order now or tune into Stars Like Us, which comes out. What day does it come out?
It's Mondays, every Monday.
Every Monday. Ooh. And we didn't even talk about it, but you make appearances on The Drew Barrymore Show.
Oh, right. What is my favorite Charlie's Angels like?
She is so present.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love the set of that TV show. I think it's such a good vibe for a talk show.
She seems like she's just there having a good time.
Yeah, she's really special. She's very, very present. It's actually kind of incredible. Like, very Pisces. Just a total queen. I mean, what else can you say? It's like Drew Barrymore, an icon.
Yes.
A living legend.
Truly. I just realized I've met all three of those angels. Okay.
Really?
Yes. How fun. Wow. Yeah, I met...
Did you sing Independent Woman?
No. Women? Cameron Diaz came to a drag show at Red Lion one time.
Okay.
And then I auditioned for something with Lucy Liu in, like...
Okay, work.
And then Drew Barrymore I met at Adele's birthday party.
Oh, work.
Yeah.
Wow, look at this.
What a gift. All right.
Yeah, not even a brag at all.
Thanks. Whoopsies. And thank you so much for listening to Sloppy Seconds. You can follow us on Instagram at Sloppy Pod. Where can everybody follow you?
Also on Instagram. I am Aliza Kelly everywhere.
Perfect. Okay. And then don't forget to send us an email at sloppysecondspod@gmail.com or call in with your own fuck talk story to 213-536-9180. Our Instagrams are Big Dipper Jelly and Spiciest Meatball, or you can follow me on Twitter at Fat Drag Meatball. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode, which come out every Tuesday and Friday. Goodbye! Doodle-a-doo-doo, forever dog. To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.